Jim Kirby will be reading a story that he has written about Palm Sunday and conversation that may have occurred among the apostles on that triumphant day when he was coming into the city, Jerusalem. Everyone wanted to crown him a king. Let's listen to the conversation among those of his closest friends.
The hills beyond Jerusalem were filled with joyous sounds of celebration. Blasts from shofars could be heard above the shouts of praise coming from the throngs of people who gathered at the broad approach to Jerusalem's gate. Palm leaves and garments cast before the approaching procession transformed the road into a highway fit for a king. "The Messiah is coming! The Messiah is coming! Hosanna! Hosanna!" shouted the crowd. "All hail King Jesus!" That the Messiah would come riding on the colt of a donkey in fulfillment of a prophecy by Zechariah was lost on the jubilant throng, whose only interest was the coronation of the one who had healed their sick, performed miracles, and had fed them by the thousands. For this was the promised one, the anointed of God, who would free them from the yoke of Roman bondage as Moses had delivered them from the tyranny of Egyptian slavery. The procession moved at a regal pace, with deafening cries from the joyful throngs making conversation difficult to hear between the disciples who walked behind the master. "What did you say?" Philip asked in a loud voice. "I said, this is incredible, isn't it?" Peter shouted. "Indeed, I never thought we'd see the day when the master would be recognized as our king." "Incredible. Just think of all we've been through, Philip. Especially you and Andrew. You two were the first ones the master called. You were not far behind. What do you remember was the first thing he did after you began to follow him?" "I think it was to cleanse the leper," Philip responded. "I remember that." This came from Thaddeus, who had joined the conversation. "I remember when he healed the Roman centurion's slave. As I recall, all of us were together by that time." Thomas came up beside them and said, "One of my earliest memories is when the Messiah healed your mother-in-law, Peter. What a day." Peter smiled and said, "After that, we all walked around Galilee."
"Where?"
"Galilee." Peter had to raise his voice to be heard. "Yes, he did many miracles around Galilee. Remember when he cast out the demons from the man at the tombs?" Simon the Zealot said as he bounced up to Peter. "Of course I do. Who could forget? What about all the teaching he gave around the shores of Galilee?" It was James who answered this first. "I remember his teaching about the grains of wheat, the weeds in the garden, the 10 talents, and the laborers in the vineyard." "My best memory was of his teaching about those who were blessed because they were poor in spirit, or merciful, or lovers of righteousness, downcast, humble, for they would inherit the kingdom of God." "Right, Bartholomew," Peter said. "That was also along the shores of Galilee." "Speaking of Galilee," Matthew shouted, "what about when he calmed the storm?" "Better yet, how about when he walked on the water of Galilee? You do remember that, don't you, Peter?" The whole group of disciples, high in spirits, laughed and jostled Peter with affection. For his part, Peter smiled, but hung his head low in humility. "No need to look so downcast, Peter. After all, you were the only one who tried. The rest of us were too frightened to get out of the boat." "Hey, what about when he walked up to Jerusalem after the Passover and he healed the paralytic?" "Speaking of which, I think I just saw him in the crowd," Andrew said, looking back over his shoulder and pitching his voice over the din of the increasingly jubilant throng. The miracles of the master that he did were simply amazing, but what really sticks with me are his parables, like the waiting servants, the body's lamp, the dishonest servant, the wicked vine dressers, the unmerciful servant, the discarded salt, James said. So much about of his teaching dealt with the kingdom of God. Remember that, Philip added. He gave so much hope to people, to us all, Thomas cried. That's because in him all hope is realized, Peter shouted with pure joy in his eyes. Just a minute now, Judas Iscariot shouted. It wasn't always fantastic. Don't forget about all the times we had to sleep out on open ground, in the garden, right here in Jerusalem. We're probably going to have to do that again. He doesn't ever want to spend money for rooms at an inn, rather give it to the poor. So what's wrong with that? Asked Thomas. Not what you'd expect from a miracle-working, soon-to-be king, that's what. And all the walking. We've walked all over Galilee, then to Jerusalem, then to Nazareth, back to Galilee, down to Jerusalem again, and then over to Jericho, then up to Samaria, now back to Jerusalem. Walk, walk, walk. Walk north, walk south, east and west. Walk, that's all we do. Now he's riding on a colt. That's great for him, but what about us? One of them shouted, don't forget, we never got hungry. Remember when he fed 4,000? Yes, and then there was the other time when he fed 5,000. What about that, Judas? Before Judas could answer, Andrew spotted the woman who was healed of an issue of blood. Look, he explained, there is the very woman Jesus healed of the issue of blood. The woman was standing at the edge of the crowd, waving her arms wildly, her eyes fixed intently on Jesus. She reminds me of so many other people that Jesus healed, Bartholomew shouted. I remember the two blind men who were healed and all those who had leprosy, the epileptic boy and the person who couldn't hear, also the man who had an edema, the blind man at the pool of Bethesda and the blind person at Jericho. It was incredible. One time he healed 10 lepers. Only one came back to thank him. Once again, James spoke about the teachings of the master. No matter where we went or where Jesus healed people, he always was teaching. Oh, Matthew said, here we go again, Matthew said, in the best of his humor. Go ahead, James. Name some more parables. We all know that you have an incredible memory for them. Well, there was the parable of the doorkeeper, the thief in the night, the faithful servant, the unoccupied house, the important neighbor, and the closed door. Did I mention the son's request, the patch on the wineskin, and the servant entrusted with authority? Simon the zealot responded, I can't remember all of those parables you mentioned. I'm for action. All that thinking makes my head spin. But go ahead, remind me of some of the others. Then as though to help James, several other disciples began calling out to him in turn, one by one, the two builders, the two debtors, the two sons, the rich fool, the hidden treasure, the pearl of great price, the lost coin, the 10 virgins, the arrogant guest, the flowers in the field, the vultures and the carcass. Enough already, that's enough, Simon cried through his laughter. Wait, James said, there were a few more. The budding fig tree, the birds of heaven, and the barren fig tree. What about the trees and the fruit? Someone shouted. Okay. So how many were there? Simon and James had difficulty staying near one another and began to get separated. The crowd was growing in intensity and beginning to press in on the disciples. 57! James shouted with hands cupped around his mouth. 57 parables! Simon cupped his hands and shouted back, I'm a man of action! Tell me about the miracles! Then once again, various disciples shouted, He raised Lazarus from the dead. He also raised the daughter of Jairus from the dead. He healed a mute man possessed by a demon. He met the woman at the Samaritan well and told her about all about herself. Remember the catches of fish that nearly broke our nets. What about the 2 coins in the fish's mouth to pay the tax? Wasn't that incredible? He healed the lame, gave sight to the blind. I finally lost count, but I think there were about 35 major miracles, Matthew said in his strongest voice. That's what I wanted to hear, Matthew. And I love the way the miracles grated against the Pharisees, especially when Jesus healed the man who was lowered into the house and also forgave him of his sins. That really got the Pharisees going. Jesus always called them out on their hypocrisy, remember? Do I ever, Thomas said. It nearly got the master killed several times, but he never shrunk back. Just then, Peter came up to James and spoke in his ear. Remember his transfiguration? James looked at Peter and said, how could the 3 of us who witnessed it ever forget? I wonder where Moses and Elijah are now. That reminds me, I don't remember seeing John here. Have you seen him? Come to think of it, no. I'll look for him, Peter said. The procession had slowed to a near standstill as it compressed to fit through the gate. It positively poured into Jerusalem, drawing hundreds more from their shops and homes within. Peter had turned and, working his way back through the crowd, came upon John well back from the master. He was just standing there, unable to move within the stalled but noisy crowd. He looked anything but joyful, even appeared to be sad as Peter walked his way up to him. John, what's wrong? What's the matter? Peter asked his dear friend. I don't know, Peter. I just don't know. John, look around you. You've got to be the only person in the whole countryside who's not shouting for joy. Look around you. This is incredible. So what's wrong? I had some dreams again, John said quietly. Peter stood still and, taking John by the arm, said, come, step aside with me over there where there are fewer people. John nodded his assent. They didn't speak again until they were against the wall, way to the side of the gate and beyond most of the crowd. It was relatively calm and much quieter. Now, John, what's all this about dreams again? Why are you so troubled? Last night, I had a lot of dreams, or a single dream of fragments all strung together. One way or the other, it or they left me confused and anxious. Do you remember them? Can you share them with me? Peter asked hopefully. He knew John to be one of the most sincere and gentle men he had ever known. Whatever he felt was not to be taken lightly. I saw us making our way to Jerusalem, much like we're doing today. That part was all right. But then everything changed. Everything turned into broken fragments that seemed to make no sense whatsoever. Describe what you saw, if you can. I saw Jesus, but his face was full of anger. Then there were doves flying everywhere, and silver and gold coins floating in midair. Then a voice shouting something about prayer and nations. Strange indeed, John. Go on. Immediately, I saw Jesus again, only this time he was sitting calmly in the courtyard of the temple. That fragment only lasted very briefly, but I thought he was teaching. It was followed by more anger, only this time it was on the faces of Pharisees and Sadducees. There was a shaking of fist. Then once again, it all changed. John seemed to be drifting off and fell silent. John! John, What happened next? I saw several of us going up a staircase into a large room carrying things. John paused at his telling, then said, "There is no more about that picture. It changed into Jesus healing somebody. Then more faces of the Pharisees, then more fragments. Sleeping in the garden, restful, looking forward to the Passover." Then John paused again and continued softly, "The next part was really strange. Tell me. I saw Judas sitting calmly with a group of Pharisees. He was putting silver coins in his pocket. Maybe some of them were sympathetic to our cause and were making a secret contribution," Peter suggested hopefully. "Not sure, but something wasn't right. There was more." "Go on." "Then the fragments came more quickly and less understandable. These started with seeing several plates of bread and a cup of wine, then singing, then darkness like night, but there were trees, torches, and men, and Judas again, people running, we were running. Then everything went different again. Faces of Romans, even Pontius Pilate himself, and the face of the high priest, then darkness again, only with shouts of agony and loud cracking sounds, then someone holding a purple robe. Next, a campfire with people around it, and another face." John stopped abruptly. "Another face? One you recognized?" asked Peter. "Yes, yours, Peter." Peter grabbed John by the shoulders. "Do you remember anything more about me?"
"Not really. Just, well, I thought I heard a rooster.
But then everything went dark again. Then more faces crying out, yelling faces. Then a darkness even deeper than before. Then I saw Mary's face, the mother of Jesus. Then I saw that she was reaching out and holding something that looked like a wooden post stuck in the ground. Then thunder and a violent shaking and a loud renting sound, like something tearing. Then all of a sudden, everything went quiet. Nothing more."
"Nothing more? Nothing? Really? Nothing more?"
"Well, not quite. There were several more fragments after what seemed like a long period of darkness. Maybe it was another dream. I don't know."
"John, come on, don't stop now. Tell me, what did you see?"
"I saw a large round stone next to a large opening in a rock wall. It was like a cave. There was a very bright light coming from within the cave. Then one more longer dream fragment, and were it not for this part of my dreams, I would have become undone by the others. This one was glorious beyond telling, yet I know not its meaning. I saw Jesus high and lifted up. He was riding a pure white horse. His clothes were whiter than snow, but a corner of his robe was dipped in blood. His face shone brighter than the sun, and his hair flowed like pure white liquid gold, and he was called Faithful and True, the Word of God. And across his thigh was a banner which read, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and from his mouth issued forth a sword, sharp and strong, and there was the fire of conquest burning in his eyes."
"Was that the end of the dreams?"
Peter asked, although he found it hard to speak.
"Almost.
There were two more. First, I saw a great city on fire, but only for a brief moment. I got the impression that it was the great city of Rome, and there was a road leading away from the city. Alongside the road were several crosses with men hung on them. One man was hung upside down.
When I tried to look more closely at that man, the dream changed. Then I saw a small island with hills beyond the shore. High upon one of these hills sat an old man looking far out to sea. He sat silent and still, but occasionally looked down to write something on sheets of parchment which he held in his lap. And as I watched, I felt as though I was moving. I was moving toward him, closer and closer. Then the dream faded like light fading when a candle is snuffed out. All was dark again, and I awoke. Both Peter and John stood silently, looking deeply into each other's eyes. Both men wept, embracing each other, beside the wall, near the gate that led into Jerusalem, where the fate of each of them, along with their master's future, lay just ahead. Palm Sunday, as it might have been.